up our Bibles to the book of Exodus then. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I appreciate God letting us come back tonight. You pray for us, Lord, help us. I want to say just what the Lord have us do. You got your Bibles, open up the book of Exodus. I'm not sure if I told you a chapter. What did I say already? I don't know. Chapter 2 is where I'm going to be at. Book of Exodus, chapter number 2. I get excited sometimes and I forget what I said. And so you'll just go where I want you to go and not what maybe I say. You just go with what I'm thinking about. Exodus chapter number 2 is where I'm going to be, and we'll read just a few verses of Scripture and then try to mind the Lord. I thought that maybe I'd preach something different, and the Lord's really woke me up, started burdening my heart about this text, and I want to try to mind the Lord. Bible says in verse 15, "So now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water, filled their troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, 'How is it that ye are come so soon today?' And they said, 'An Egyptian hath delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock.' He said unto his daughters, 'And where is he? Why is it that you've left the man? Call him that he may eat bread.' And Moses was content to dwell with the man. He gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. She bare him a son. He called his name Gershom, for he said, 'I have been a stranger in a strange land.' It came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. They cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. God heard their groaning. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them." Notice I'll read verse 1 of the next chapter, and I'll be done. It said, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, came to the mountain of God, even to Oreb." Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you tonight. God, I thank you, Lord, for letting us come. Thank you for the goodness of God. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the testimonies we've already heard, the songs already been sung. And God, I just appreciate you giving us a place, at God, that we can come together and meet with you and worship you and to hear from heaven. And God, that's what we want to do for a few minutes of time. I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, to be real small. I pray, God, that you'd get real big in the church tonight. Father, I pray, God, that you'd help us not to be tinkling cymbals nor sounding brass, but God, I pray that we lift up our voice like a trumpet, and to God, and spare not. Father, we pray that to God that you'd help us to preach in the right spirit, and to God, I pray that, Lord, you'd help us to say the right thing. Father, I'm so glad that you've helped us, Lord. I pray that, God, that you'd draw out of us, Lord, what you put in us, and a way that would help the people, but more importantly, that would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I ask you now to make preaching easy and to help us, Lord, we pray. For it's in Christ's name I humbly beg and ask. Amen and amen. You can be seated. And of course, most everybody in the church probably knows and is familiar with this text, and particularly with where they're at right now, that all of a sudden you find it was another king in Egypt that arose after the death of Egypt. The Bible said that he did not know God, and he did not know Joseph, wasn't interested in none of those things. And for 400 years they had been down in what the Bible would refer to as that old iron furnace down in Egypt. And to thank God, listen, things looking pretty bad for them, but God's got a plan. I thank God for that. I want to say this to you, friend. All of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, it looks like that Moses' life had just about come to a close. You understand, it got to that place where he had stepped out sort of outside what God wanted him to do, and it resulted in him having to flee out of Egypt. But again, let me remind you, all in the plan of God. And now we come to chapter number 2, and where we find him at in this place, as he's on the backside of the desert in Midian. And listen, there's nobody else around. There's none of the Israelites nowhere to be found. He's not an independent
Independent Baptist Church, there's not a place he can get sharpened by iron. But ain't it amazing that there's a God in heaven that knows right where he is? Amen. And so I got to thinking about, and no doubt that for 40 years, at best I can tell, that God never has spoke to it. And 40 years probably feels like that he's been forgotten. It probably feels like God has turned his back on it. But oh, what a day. I'd wait 40 years to hear out of a bush, wouldn't you? Amen. I'm simply saying this. And what a blessing that it had to be. And whenever God started speaking to him of that day out of that bush. I want to preach on this salt tonight. And I'm preaching mainly to the young folk, to the younger people in the church. I preach to everybody, or I'll try to. But I want to preach particularly to the young folks that are starting to serve God. I want to preach on this thought on how God shapes a servant. How God shapes a servant. I'd say this to you, and I want everybody to hear me. I want everybody to listen real good. And wouldn't it be a blessing if I thank God you was just perfected in the body of Christ and God didn't have to do no work on you. And now all of a sudden you went from being saved to being in the full service of God and no problems with your mind and no problems with mistakes and no faults and no failures and you just got to serve God. And boy, I'd like that, wouldn't you? Amen. I tell you this, it sure make preaching easier. Amen. I'll guarantee that. But oh, that's not how it's been. That's not how it's been in my life. And no doubt that's not how it's been in yours. But I want to remind you tonight that what God's doing in everything he does is he's shaping servants. Amen. And to thank God not for your benefit or how you perceive it ought to be, but ultimately for his glory. I'll give you a few things and I'll preach the message. I thought about, first of all, and listen to me, friend, and we already know what he's trying to shape us into. And the Bible's real clear about that. And we like that Romans 8:28. That's on bracelets. We got it in there. And you know, it's on bumper stickers on cars. It's written up above mirrors in bathrooms. And thank God we like Romans 8:28. And we know, amen. I like it too, thank God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. But I never have seen a Romans 8:29 bumper sticker. Amen. I never have seen that on a bracelet. I never have seen that on a t-shirt. But it still is true. Amen. Them two verses link up together. It's a train and a caboose. And the Bible says, for those he did foreknow, and them he did also predestinate and to be conformed and to the image of his son, and that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Amen. I'll say this, thank God, that God's got in his mind the image and we're all supposed to look like. And thank God, and it's none other than his darling son. And so he takes you and I, he takes what we are, and in the rest of our lives, he's been shaping us into the image of his dear son. I say this, thank God, I know what I'm supposed to look like. I just don't look like it most of the time. Amen. But boy, I thank God. If I could right there, I'd just take off in a little song break and say, he's still working on me and to make me what I ought to be. Amen. And thank God, I'm glad he ain't quit. Amen. I'm saying this, friend. I know what he's the image. But then I start thinking about the instruments. Oh, let me say this to you, friend. And what a blessing it is. And we already know the instruments that he uses. He uses one in Hebrews 4:12. That's a pretty sharp one. Amen. And for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And piercing even the dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so God does his. He takes this sword right here and he starts to cut off at what does not look like Christ. Amen. But listen, thank God. That boy, like a surgeon, and just goes in there and just starts removing. But I'll tell you, my problem is, and says sometimes I'm too stiff-necked to allow God to come in like a surgeon. But he's got a tool for that too. Amen. And Jeremiah at chapter 18, verse 6, I think it is. He said that his word is like a hammer. And thank God that breaks the rock to pieces. I don't know about nobody else. I wish innocent, thank God. Had the sword just go in there and it cut off gingerly. But I'll tell you, sometimes that hammer's got to come down. Thank God, and break in pieces. I tell you what else he uses. The Bible teaches us. He said, behold, I've chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. I'm glad he uses fire. Amen. I mean, thank God he'll use a sword. He'll use a hammer. He'll use some fire. He'll use a flood. In Ezekiel chapter 37, I think it is over there, on down chapter 42 maybe. And whenever it talks about, said he went 1,000 cubits and the water was to his ankle, and then 1,000 more and this to his knees, and then 1,000 more into his loins, and then 1,000 more, and there was waters too big to tread under. Thank God, I had to swim a while. I say this, friend. And listen, when God shapes a servant, he'll use a lot of different means, but it's all for the same goal. Amen. I even thought about this, thank God. Ain't it a blessing, friend, as we stand in this day, right where we're at, the one thing we know for sure. I don't know where you're at in this thing, but I know that God is involved in what he is doing to make you what you ought to be. I mean, all the youngins, they sitting around and they say, I don't know why I'm going through this or that. I'll tell you what God's doing for you. He's shaping you into a servant that he used. Amen. And listen, the Bible teaches us over there in Jeremiah chapter 18, and when it talks about the potter's house, and he said, behold, he said, as the clay is in the hand of the potter, he said, even so are ye in my hand. Amen. I've got good consolation and great news. Amen. And no matter where you're at in this thing, if you're saved by the good grace of God, God's always got his hands on you. Amen. And you say, preacher, I don't feel it. Thank God, listen, it doesn't make no difference. Amen. Thank God, I'm glad for what we can feel. But feeling stuff ain't got nothing to do with God doing a work in our lives. Amen. For 40 years, old Moses sitting there, and he's on the backside of the desert, and he's not doing anything spectacular. Hey, you know what he's doing? He's getting up in the day, and he's going and he's feeding sheep, and he's leading sheep out, and then he goes to bed that night, and he gets up the next day, and you know what he does that day? He does the same thing he done the day before. And the Lord, listen, had no doubt in his mind, trying to figure out how when's God's going to use it. And the whole time, unaware that God is shaping him on the backside of the desert. I'm going to give you three things and I'll be done. But I want you to listen here. And the first thing I want you to see is, when God shapes a servant, and the first thing's got to happen is God's got to get some things out of you. Watch what it says in verse 19. It said, and they said, and when they speak, and he said, how has she come so soon today? And verse 19 said, and they said, an Egyptian. I want you to listen, friend. He was not an Egyptian, amen. Thank God. But he sure looked like one, amen. Amen. He had an identity. Look at me. Here's your first identity crisis in the whole Bible. Right here you have an Israelite who looks like an Egyptian who's living down in Midian. He is confused, friend. But listen, I'll tell you what he is. I'll tell you what happens to a lot of folks' heart. Down on the inside of his heart, he was an Israelite. But by everybody's else estimation, he looked like an Egyptian. Amen. He said, that man looks like an Egyptian. And God's like, oh no, I'm not going to use no Egyptian. I'm going to use an Israelite. You know what that is? That's sanctification. That's God putting something on the inside of us. But thank God, listen, I'm sure you probably always do. But now most of us probably don't always look like what we ought to look like. Amen. But I want you to listen. As God shapes you, as God molds you to his service, he's got to get some things out of you. Amen. I thank God. Listen, friend. I start thinking about this. The first thing, no doubt, they had to get out of Moses is he had to get his wardrobe off of him. Amen. He said, you look like you belong into Egypt and not in Israel. Amen. Don't y'all think that's right there? Somebody ought to help me on that in a little bit. I want you to listen to me, friend. And they said, I'll tell you what, he looks like he's an Egyptian. I was thinking about this the other day, and I said, I'll step off right here, and I'll step off on my hobby horse, however you want to call it. But I ran into some folks the other day back home, and they're Christians. But, you know, they'd say they would be. But their shirt said, you know, their shirt had ACDC on it. And, you know, that sort of thing. And I was confused. I thought, now, wait a second. I thought we was Christian. And we can't be both Christian and running around with ACDC shirts on. Those two things don't really go together. Y'all think that's right or not right? Amen. I think that's right. I mean, you probably ought not be a Christian and then have a Budweiser shirt on. Y'all think that's right? Amen. I feel like that's right. I probably ought not be out with a Coors Light hat on and then say, you know, I'm saved by the good grace of God. That's confusing. Amen. Oh, listen, friend, I'm not interested. I'm saying this. And before God's going to use you, he's going to have to get some things out of you. Amen. That's what happens in our life. All these years, have the world put something in us day after day after day. But before God ever lets you do something real big for him, he'll have to get some of that out of you. I'll guarantee it. He started with the wardrobe. Amen. And you say, what wardrobe? And you understand Moses was used to wearing. He's used to wearing the robes in the palace. But now he's got down and he's wearing not the prince's garments. But now he's wearing the shepherd's and those servants' garments. Listen, you know why God don't use some people? Because they're so high up here. And thank God that they're incapable. I've never met nobody too messed up. I've never met nobody too low. But I've met many of folks that was way too high and way too big for God to ever use them. Amen. Have they stand up, thank God. And look here, y'all know, listen, I'm going to try to not meddle too much, but I'm going to move on pretty quick. But these places that I've been a part of, or that I've been around, that as soon as somebody gets saved, they go and they put it on the billboard. Hey, he's been 42 saved since so-and-so's been pastor. Let me help y'all right here. I ain't got not one thing to do with anybody getting saved. And you don't neither, amen. I mean, you can pray for them. How we can bring it up. We can put the word of God in them. But salvation is of the Lord, amen. Oh, that's right. Thank God. And all I can tell you is this. Hey, some folks say, God, hey, can't get too big. Hey, listen to me, young folk. You can get to thinking. I've told you this before. But I remember these two girls one time got up to sing. And again, I'm not against them. That's not my purpose. But boy, they got up when they started singing. And they had voices like songbirds. And this old man of God got up after it. He said, ladies, he said, do you know what the key to good singing is? He said, it's not pitch, it's not tone, and it's not sound. It is repentance. Amen. And I think that's right. Don't you think that's right? I'll say this, thank God. Folks, it'll get right with God and get real low. And then God can fill them up. And mark this down. God will not share his glory with another. Amen. And not me, not you, not nobody else. And so he had to get his wardrobe off of him. And then I thought about this. He had to get the wisdom out of him. Amen. The Bible says in Acts chapter 7 that old Moses was trained up in the wisdom of Egypt. Amen. And thank God. Listen, friend, this thing don't work on the wisdom of Egypt. That church don't work based on the wisdom of man. It never has. I'll tell you what God said about it. He said that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. Amen. Ain't that right? Thank God. And God's not interested in your wisdom. Amen. I wish y'all listened to me. Thank God. Hear me today, friend. There's folks trying to figure out if God can use them or not. And these folks trying to figure out how God's going to use them. I'll tell you what y'all do. Y'all just get in a place where you say, God, I'm willing, and let God do what he wants to do. Amen. And you say, well, what I'm going to do is not going to be much. And well, if it's for God, it'll be more than enough. I'll assure you of that. And so he had to get the wardrobe off of it. He had to get the wisdom out of it. He had to get the wealth away from him. Amen. And you understand that old Moses was down in Egypt, and he had all the wealth in the world. And the Bible said that he chose rather the riches of Christ over the treasures of Egypt. You know what happened to him at some point in time? Now listen to me. If God's going to shape you as a servant, there'll have to be a time in your life when you're more interested in the treasures of Christ and you are the riches of the world. Amen. Amen. You know, listen. I'm trying not to meddle. That's not the purpose of preaching, but I want you to understand. We spend an awful lot of time trying to make sure our kids are going to have good jobs and a good educations and have good money and all that sort of thing. And we'll say, look here, friend. I mean, we'll train them up and we'll say, oh, we want you to get good grades, and we'll even bribe them with that, won't we? For every A you come in, you get $5 for every A you get. But I don't know too many parents that's out there saying, I'll tell you what I'll do. For every Bible verse you'll memorize, I'll give you $5. Amen. Now listen, which you think be more profitable? Amen. Amen. How you say, preacher, I'll go broke. I'll tell you what, you'll have great riches on the other side. It'd be better to break your bank here and to put something on the inside that'll last forever. Amen. Oh, yes. We're standing that day whenever everybody's more interested in wealth. And they're after it. Amen. And I'm just simply saying this. If you got to make a choice, Gage, amen, some of our young men, and Justin, I mean, if you got to make a choice, hey, you ought to, Allie sang that song. She said, you know, stand at the crossroads. And thank God, said the choice is clear. I'll take Jesus. Amen. I believe that's right. Don't you think that's right? I know a lot of folks that are miserable, got money. Don't know anybody full of God that's miserable, though. Somebody smile at me right there. I don't know nobody that's full of the Holy Ghost of God that's miserable, even when they're broke, amen. That's right. And so the first thing I thought about, as God shapes his servants, hey, some things he's got to get out of you, amen. And these songs he's got to get out of your head. Hey, these images he's got to get away from your heart. Hey, he's got to get that world out. I'll tell you, listen, it's amazing. Now listen to me. I don't understand exactly how this works, but these old, wretched, ungodly songs that I put in my head from 1997 to 1999 that I can't get them out of it still to this day. I don't know how that works, but you can hear one tune and all of a sudden your mind goes to the song, and then it goes to a situation, and then it goes to a place you ought not have been, around folks you ought not have been with, and the devil beats you up with it again. You say, preacher, what do? I repent over it all over again. Amen. And I know it's under the blood. I know I done put it there. But the devil likes to remind me about the past, so I like to remind him I've already repented of it. Amen. Amen. Thank God. I'm saying this, friend. Be careful what you put in your kids. Youngins, be careful what you put in your mind now. Amen. Before God use you, he'll have to spend some time getting all that out of you. 40 years Moses had Egypt in him. Everybody thought he was an Egyptian, looked like an Egyptian. 40 years later, Moses don't look like an Egyptian no more. Thank God, all that Egypt. And the next time he shows up in Egypt, hey, ain't nobody saying, that's one of us. Amen. Oh, no, thank God. And the next time he shows up in Egypt, hey, say, that's old Moses right there. And now listen, friend, things have changed. I'm saying this, thank God. As God shapes a servant, some things he's got to get out of you. But then I want to say this to you. As God shapes you as a servant, hey, some things God's got to get in you. Amen. Hey, you know what happens in chapter number 3? In chapter number 3, Moses walking down. Again, he's just doing ordinary stuff. Just doing what he knows to do. And doing it faithfully day after day. But one day he got up, and that day was not like the day before. On that day, thank God, as he walks through the desert places, and my nasal bush starts talking to it. And he said, I love it. One of my favorite passages. And whenever he turns around, if you read it, you know it's funny too. Every time you read it, it's funny. He passes by that bush. He says, somebody talking to him out of it. And old Moses just nonchalantly, he said, I believe I'll turn aside and see what I see about this bush. Every time I read it, I thought, he's obviously seen more God than I have. Amen. And that whenever he sees God speaking out of a burning bush, it doesn't even move him. He just said, I believe I'll turn aside. But I'll tell you this, what God does for him that day, he never gets over it. Amen. Amen. Hey,
you read your Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 33, when he's getting ready to be done with life. He said, and the God who spoke out of the bush, amen. Every time he gets down and out, he goes back and he said, I'll tell you this. Hey, it was a day when God got real in my heart. I want you to listen to me. If you don't listen to nothing else, I want you to hear what I'm going to say next. All right, y'all listen real good. What Moses done on that day is he got to know who God was. And when you get to know who God is, you'll never have to wonder what God can do. Amen. Have the folks running around trying to figure out if God can do this or if God can do that. They've never been convinced of who God really is. If you ever get to know who God is, there'll never be a doubt in your mind what God can do. Amen. That's why David can walk up against Goliath. Everybody else is like, you're but a youth. And he said, listen. Men sitting out on the backside, staring up at how big God is. And compared to God, this fella right here is awful small. Yeah. Listen, Brother Matt, that's why them three Hebrew children, when they stand outside the fiery furnace, they can say, be it known unto thee. They said, our God whom we serve. Yeah. You know what they said? He is able. They was convinced in their mind who he was. And they said, if he wants to, he can save us. He said, but if not, that said, be it known unto thee, we will not bow down. And boy, I like that, amen. That's the same kind of thing that stirs Paul up whenever everybody else feels like the ship's going down. And Paul said, all I know is I stood. And he said, there stood by me this night at the angel of God whose I am and whom I serve. And boy, I'm telling you, know what he did? He stepped back out. He said, fear not. He said, fear not, for I believe God. Amen. I'm saying this, thank God. And God gets something in you where you realize how big he is. You'll never have to wonder about what God's doing. Won't have to do it. We got folks running around. Listen, interesting. Listen, not the message, but it'll serve right here. You know what's real interesting about this? Moses is the first person he says, I am the Lord to. He said, I am that I am. I am the God. That's who he goes on saying. And then you know what happens after that? Then he says, whenever you go down to the Israelites, you tell them, I am the Lord. Yeah. And he said, when you get down into Egypt, he said, then the Egyptians shall know, I am the Lord. He said, then old Pharaoh said, he's going to know, I am the Lord. Amen. You know, he didn't work it the other way around. Yeah. He didn't start with Pharaoh and then Egypt and then the Israelites. He said, Moses, before anybody else gets to know who you really are, who I really am, he said, you're going to have to sell this thing in your heart, who I am. He said, I am that I am. That's a good name. Don't y'all like that? They was folks used to be liking it. We've gotten too excited about it these days, ain't we? Amen. He said, I am that I am. He said, that'll be my name continually. You know what he had to get settled on? He had to get settled on the person of God. And if there's one thing I want our youngins to know, thank God, listen, he's bigger than any Baptist ever says he is. Listen, I try to treat it like COVID. Whenever I got folks around our kids and they're like, now listen, God ain't going to do nothing else in America. He ain't going to do nothing else around here. There ain't no more revivals coming to this country. I feel like we ought to put a mask on them, maybe tape over their lips, and say, stay as far away from our youngins as you can. You ain't got not one verse of Bible to support any of that. Not one. Amen. I'm about to preach myself happy 7 times in a row. Not one time. Not one verse can you put your finger on and say, God won't send revival in our day. Somebody help me. If you know that verse, I wish you'd stand up and quote it. Say, oh, preacher, we're living in the last days. You know what? Listen, I'll quote Brother Mitchell again. You know what he used to say? I loved it. He'd say, we are victims of prophecy. You know what that meant? That meant that we all know we're living in the last days, so instead of looking for God to do something, we've just stopped and waiting for God to do nothing. He's going to come. Nobody do nothing no more. Let's just all sit down. Yeah. Victims of prophecy. That's what that means. Amen. Thank God. You're going to have to look here. Watch what your Bible says. I better move on. Some of you look and you give me them looks again. Here's what the Bible says. Notice the scripture. whenever he gets down there, and he says in verse number 16 at the end of it, he said, I've surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. Isn't it amazing that God had been looking at that for 400 years? No, never been about it. First thing you got to find is this. He had to get some things out of them. He had to get some things in them. But then I want you to understand, as he shapes a servant, he's got to get some things through to him. You know, something. Look here. Now watch this. This is hard scripture. Turn with me. I'm going to try to make it as just exactly as it says it is. In chapter 4, turn with me. Turn with me there. I want you to see this. Hard scripture. Hey, some things that I want it to say. I'm going to take my time because I want this to sink in our hearts. Particularly, listen, in the days that we're living in of popcorns and coffee machines in churches, I want us to understand that that's not what this Bible would teach us. Everybody understand that? Everybody understand? Everybody all right with that? We don't drink Mountain Dews in the house of God. We don't do things like that. Somebody help me. I said Mountain Dews because y'all know that's what I like. And listen, look here, if I ever walk in this church and I've got a Mountain Dew in my hand coming up to the pulpit, y'all need to call somebody because I have lost my mind. Right? Ain't no God in that. Amen. Yeah, you don't have to like that. It's still right. Watch what your Bible says here. I want you to see it. Chapter number 4. Here's what the Bible says, verse 24. It says, and it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. You know what you need to, look here. You say, what's the context of that? You got in on it. Whole thing's going this way. Moses' life's going good. Moses had a burning bush experience. Moses is getting ready to go down there. And all of a sudden, as he gets ready to go down there, the Bible says that the Lord stood in the way, met him at an inn, and sought to kill him. Say, what happened? I'll tell you some things that I think needs to get through to everybody going to try to serve God is it's serious business. It's serious to try to serve God. I feel like the seriousness of serving God is getting diminished to the point that it's not even serious for folks anymore. Come in the house of God, listen, and I mean in between play and bubble it on their phone. Somebody help me right here. Don't get mad at me. These folks that's been in this church that's asked their neighbor what the Wi-Fi password is in this church. I'll tell you what it is. It's none of your business. Amen.
Amen.
Didn't come to church to get on Facebook.
Go ahead, preacher.
Is that right or not? Is everybody all right with that? See, this is serious. These folks literally sitting around everybody. Listen to me. There's people sitting in this church that we know that if death should find them right now, hell would be their home. That's probably worth staying off Instagram for a while. Don't you guess that's right? Probably worth staying off Snapchat and that sort of thing while you're in the house. I think it's serious. What he says right here, he's getting ready to come down. He's going to go serve God. And because some things not serious enough in his life, God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I know I just gave you a great experience, but I'll kill you before I'll let you go and do it not having been serious with me. Y'all think that? I mean, that's what he's... Now watch this. I want you to understand there's some things that's not right in Moses' life. It's not even him, Brother Ronnie. It's his boy. Y'all listen to me? It's his boy. There's a problem with his boy. His boy's not been circumcised. And God told him he's to be circumcised on the eighth day. And look here. Nobody knew about that sin. It was hidden. Amen. Praise God, I feel on liberty right there. Nobody knew what it was. Nobody knew the boy. Nobody even knew his name. They didn't know he wasn't circumcised. They didn't know that he hadn't followed the covenant. They didn't know nothing was wrong. And Moses could have went on trying to serve God, acting like nothing was wrong. God said, before you'll do that, I'll kill you. Y'all, well, that's serious. Amen. Everybody, look here. Everybody agree with me on this. Is this the same God right here that's still today? Has he changed any? Does anybody know about that? I'm saying this. Moses got a boy sitting over there and the boy's uncircumcised. Moses is going to go try to go on and serve God. And God said, no, No, before you're going to do that, there's going to have to be some things we're going to agree on. If you're going to go lead my people, you're going to do it my way.
Amen.
None of this, there's none of this, willy-nilly stuff. Listen, I'm not, please don't listen. I'm trying not to meddle. I promise you I am. But there's not small groups in this book. God did not say, upon this rock I'll build my small groups. He did not say that. Y'all with me? He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Amen. There's a lot of things that people are saying. Boy, the Lord's done this. The Lord does what He said He done in the Bible. And just because you went renegade does not mean it's right. We're going to go by the Bible. Listen, youngins, if you're going to serve God and you're going to want favor with God, you'll have to do it within the parameters that God has established. No other way. No other way. You got to singly agree with Him. And when you come to the place that you say, God said that, but my life says this, you know what you need to do? Change your life. That's right. That's right. I'm saying this. All right, I'm done. I'm going to give you one more. We're doing good. Everybody's mad at me now. Here's what you find. This passage of Scripture. Whenever He shows up there, there's a seriousness to serving God. That needs to get through to us in our day. I feel like a whole revival could be preached on how serious it is to serve God. You say, preacher, I just don't know if it's that serious. Well, we ought to bring up Nadab and Abihu. Or Hophni and Phinehas.
Yes, sir.
Or any of the rest of them that thought that it was all fun and games and they'd serve God however they want. What about Uzzah? Yes. I believe I'll just touch whatever I want to touch. God said, you touch it and you'll die.
Yes.
That's the same God.
Yes, sir.
He ain't changed not one tenth of a degree in any way.
Yes,
that's still Him. And these folks saying, how come God don't use me? I'll tell you this, you're going to have to get serious about it. Amen. All right. Well, I'm going to be... Listen, there's a supportiveness to this thing. Let me help. I want all of our youngins to listen to me particularly. You're going to need somebody to help you serve God. Oh, Moses has got some things wrong in his life. And I don't know if he's so excited about the work of God that he's ignored what's wrong. But you know who knows what's wrong in his life? Y'all know it.
Yes.
His wife does.
Yep, buddy. You better believe it.
His wife said, you getting ready to do what now? She said, me and you both know. We got a boy. We didn't follow what God said about it. And while Moses is all fired up about the work of God, she's interested in keeping her family in the will of God.
Yeah.
And whenever Moses wasn't interested in doing what was right, Zipporah steps up with no sharp stone. She circumcises it and she throws it at him. She said, thou art a bloody husband unto me. You know what she done right then? She saved her home and she saved his life. Because she had somebody, Sam, but wasn't afraid to say, this thing's not right. And instead of just trying to go around it, she said, let's get this thing fixed.
Amen.
Ain't it? Listen, you know who probably knows better than anybody? If you're married, you're here and you're married.
Right.
You're here tonight and you've got a spouse. You know who probably knows more about what's wrong in your life than anybody? Now, I've told you this 1,000 times, and I mean it tonight. I appreciate that everybody in this, at least 95% of everybody in this room loves me, and I really appreciate that. I mean that. I appreciate that. I appreciate that you think well of me. But I'm going to be honest with you. When I stand in this pulpit, and they're not here tonight, they're in North Carolina. When I step foot in this pulpit, there's four people that I particularly am interested in how they feel about their daddy preaching. And when I stand up in the pulpit, I don't want my wife to have to look down. Y'all with me right there?
Yes.
If these things not right, and there has been times, There has been times. I stepped out of a pulpit one time, and my wife, I've told you this before probably, stepped out of a pulpit one time, told a joke in the pulpit. Stepped out of it, and my wife said, honey, she said, what do you think those people are talking about going home? The message God gave you or that dumb joke you told at the end? And you know what I said? God help. I said, Lord, if you'll help me, I'll not never do that no more. I'll not never do that. And I, to my knowledge, I ain't never done that on purpose again. That was my wife saying that was not right. And I'm for it. I'm going to tell you who else knows with whether what you got's real or not. You got some kids sitting around you?
Yes, sir.
They know.
Exactly right.
You know why some folks, why some mommies and daddies don't get up and try to serve God? Because they know that as soon as they get up and try to do something, their kids are going to say, who is that? Help me. Help me right there. They're going to step up there and get up there and they start singing a song and tears start flowing out of their eyes. That little boy and that little girl at home said, that's not the daddy I know. Said, boy, when they get to church, it gets good. But when we get home, they know. You know who else, you know who else knows whether it's real or not? You do. You're God's and you start to get up and do something, I'll promise you this. Amen. I'll amen Nathaniel while I'm preaching. I'll promise you this. You get ready to step up and try to do something for God and there's something not right, and the Holy Ghost will say, not right. Not right. You say, you got any Bible for that? Yep. Fellow says he goes up to the altar and he says, as soon as you put your gift on the altar, says the Holy Ghost says, got naught against you, brother?
Yeah.
He said, go, leave your gift at the altar. Who you think told him that?
Yeah.
You know. I'm talking about shaping a servant. There's some things got to get through to. Then lastly, y'all said it three or four times. Husbands and wives know, children know, you know. But more than anything, God knows. And there's a lot of folks that used to think Jimmy Swaggart was the real deal. I'm honest with you. Is that right, preacher? Not right. There's a time that there's folks said, man, Jimmy Swaggart, best preacher in the country. I've heard them say that about, you know, all those folks, they've gotten caught with harlots and prostitutes and they've cheated on everything. But everybody else was fooled. They said, man, they're great. You say, preacher, how do we reconcile some of that? I'll tell you how you reconcile it. The Bible says, be not amazed if Satan himself be transformed to an angel of light. He also has ministers of righteousness. They appear right. I'm saying that if God's going to use you as a servant, he's got to get some things out of you. He's got to get some things in you. And he's got to get some things through to you. I want the service of God to be serious, don't you? All right, I've cleared my heart. I feel like that's where the Lord had me stop. Let's stand to our feet. Stand to our feet. I'm asking you this. If God's using you as service, how's he shaping you tonight?